Well, welcome everybody. This is another Hour of Truth. I am Paul Muller. I have Phil Walthall sitting there next to me. And
good morning.
On the other side of the mic, I have James Utzler.
Good morning, everybody.
And we're going to sit here and cuss and discuss and talk about the Lord and how good He is. And we had a passage in our service that was at least part of Luke's beatitude. And I started thinking about the other places where Scripture talked about us being light, and I was got back to Matthew 5, and I realized we're kind of doing a Matthew 5 Matthew thing on Friday nights, some of us, and I'm real hesitant to do any of this. And then do it again on Friday night and be shown to not have any insight on it at all.
That's okay. You'll just learn, Paul. It's all good, right?
Yeah, it's all good. But, you know, the thing that occurs to me assuming here we've all read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and are familiar with the Beatitudes.
Yeah, Rick said it wouldn't hurt for me to do it for a year straight. Years ago when it first came under discipleship underneath him.
How true.
Is that, not just for me only. He says, yeah. Okay, anybody that comes in, it's just good if they've gone through this for a year.
We have examples. As I'm sitting here just looking through some of the verses, we're seeing some examples unfold before us. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely for my sake. That's some of that's unfolding in the public square as we speak regarding Duck Dynasty people. So it is really just going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. 5:13. You're the salt of the earth, but the salt hath lost his savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Goes the next verse. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light and all that are in the house. You know, if you're going to believe, and that's just simply it, if you're going to receive and believe the Word of God, then you're going to have saltiness. You're going to rub people the wrong way with it. Rub the salt into the wounds of people who have not a trust in the Lord. And?
That's why, yeah, something came to my mind. You know, when I was talking about the seed and the sower this morning, I was talking about all you got to do is receive that gift.
Yeah.
We're talking about the ground that it's being sown on and we being the ground. I was looking at us... And I was looking at the word you said, receive, and it just highlighted a point as being the good one. Receiving that word for what it says, what it is, and going forward in that word. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a choice that we can make. We can make a choice to be offended and leave. We can make a choice to let the trials and tribulation cause us to depart. We can make a choice of letting the cares and the riches of this world, and we can believe all those other things that are not profitable other than the Word of God. I don't know. It's just something that highlighted in my brain when you're saying that. So I apologize if I got off point.
Well, it's interesting, you know, you talk about us being the ground. He says we're the salt of the earth. You know what happens when you salt the earth? You can't grow anything in it at all. So it's kind of a, it's an interesting dichotomy there. If we're salty, we can grow. If the ground is salty, it cannot grow. Interesting.
I kind of also looking at the thing about the salt holding back corruption. You go to the beach and you got cuts and sores on you. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I come out of that beach water and I go wash up, and those heels and those cut, those sores and those cuts, man, they start to get healed up pretty quickly afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. It not the not the cleanest water in the world, but all that salt acts as a complete disinfectant. You're not going to get any infection from any of that.
Yeah. Sue had something nice in there in the chat, and it says, and to receive means you choose to agree with it. And that's absolutely true. You choose to agree with it. Now, it's kind of what I was talking a little bit before, James. I mean, that's us to make a choice. I mean, any of us can what? Make a choice, right? We make choices every day.
Absolutely. What choice are we going to make?
The choice is we're going to believe the Word of God and trust Him.
Oh, man. Let's see. I started out with going to... I just do a little talking about Matthew 5 and not necessarily a verse-by-verse thing. But neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and to give a light unto all that are in the house, is the same, almost the same word-for-word thing that Luke has about the same thing, of light in the candlestick.
You know, I look at that, and I correct me if I'm wrong. When I look at that, putting that light on, you're sitting there, you're shining Jesus' light. You're shining, you're giving glory unto Jesus of what He has done. That's what I mean. When I look at that, that's what I see. I mean, like, Phil, you were like this. Or James, you were like this. Paul, you were like this. What has changed? Well, the answer here is Jesus.
It's going out and preaching the gospel.
Amen. Is it all in my head, or did somebody turn on a mosquito fogger outside?
Something happened. I don't know.
Man. Anyhow, I don't even know if anybody can hear that, but wow, it just suddenly there was something there. And the point of the light is that you can see. And then the next verse, it's, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What are the good works? Well, they're His work.
Amen.
Amen.
And you don't have that light. You know, like somebody gives you a hamburger and you go, you're going to eat that hamburger. You're not going to go, I got a hamburger, and just go stock it away somewhere in a sock drawer or something, right? You're going to eat the hamburger. Well, if you're going to have, if you're going to be carrying light, you're going to be the light of the world, then somebody needs to be able to see because of it. And they have an opportunity to see. Because he's good.
Amen.
And he imparted that to you.
Amen. You know, the other thing that light does is it also, it shines on the dark, on the, on, it exposes things as well.
It exposes corruption, exposes unbelief, exposes as you go into John 3, 17 through the end of it, men don't want to come to the light. They don't want to have their deeds reproved.
And here's the condemnation, that men prefer darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That light was shown in the scene that their works were evil.
Right.
And they prefer to be justified than be reproved. Prefer to be justified in their own mind by their own ways than be reproved of the Lord.
Yeah, that's where...
I mean, it's kind of interesting because you have also, you had Steve and Charlie talking about reprove, rebuke, exhort. Mm-hmm. You know, there is an error in the way. You know, I'd look at Jesus when he goes to the man and he goes, Lord, I kept all these things from my youth. What's the thing thou lackest? Go sell everything that you have. Come and follow me. Give it to the poor and come and follow me. That was the thing that needed to be lit up unto him to show him his arrow and where he lacked going forward in the Lord.
Yep. The Jews, Pharisees.
And we get that ourselves all the time. That light being exposed to us if we'll let it.
Right.
And we will return and turn at that rebuke. We'll return at that... reproof. Return at that exhortation over again. If we want to receive the word of God, go forward. And here's talking for us to be doing the same. Being that light that he is.
Right.
Bringing forth his light, I should say.
The Pharisees, Sadducees, they all had, they were special, they had the law. And they studied the law. And they became experts at seeing to it that other people obeyed the law. And they added their own traditions and rules onto the law. So that you'd never come close to the law, breaking it. And most of the accusations about other people's behavior, deeds, was about breaking their traditions, not breaking the law itself. And the truth of the matter is, the purpose of the law was what?
To bring you unto Christ.
It was to lead you to understand that you needed the grace and mercy of the Lord.
And you couldn't fulfill it on your own.
Absolutely.
And Jesus starts here in 17 adjusting the fact that these people had the law, but their hearts were evil. They were full of unbelief. And, well, the development of it we'll get into. Think not I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. I put an extra word in there, to all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That's interesting. It's to whosoever shall teach and do the law.
Well, I like what it says, right? Think that I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill.
Absolutely.
I mean, he was the only one that could come and complete and fulfill the law flawlessly.
Right.
That's why it was a perfect sacrifice.
Absolutely.
So it was all based on what he was able to do, not on what we are able to
right.
do.
Absolutely. And they just didn't like that arrangement.
No, because they wanted the glory to them. That's something that they can do.
That's right. Then he throws this one in here. And this is the one that grabbed my attention all the time. Still grabs my attention. I say unto you, unless your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Oh man, I'm screwed. They were righteous.
You're right. But there is one way to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. There's only one way.
That's it.
His name was Jesus, because he was the one that came in to fulfill it. And he did fulfill it. If you back up and read, he goes, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. And guess what? He fulfilled it.
Well, he's fixing to start showing them that they got nothing to stand on.
Absolutely.
And because they don't have the heart of the law. They don't have the law written in their heart. They haven't agreed with his purpose. They take their knowledge and they go hide that away in their sock drawer. And just assume that they're in a better place than everybody else because they have this knowledge. But they never share any of that knowledge with people. They share their rules and regulations with people.
You know what scripture comes about? Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth.
Mm-hmm.
Had knowledge, no love.
Absolutely not.
And really, that's just more accountability on those guys when it comes down to it. And that's not a good place to be. It goes with us, too. You know?
The whole rest of this chapter is, you've heard it said, but I say unto you. I mean, you've heard it said. But I say unto you. And it's not working out well. You've heard it said.
By them of old time.
You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you. That whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Say, fool. How many times have you killed people in your mind?
And in your heart.
How many times have you been puffed up with pride after having put somebody in their place verbally? And what you really did by the spirit of the law was commit murder. And, he's trying to get them. Like the cat that you're rubbing the wrong way, you try to get the cat to turn around.
But the heart surgery they need, he's trying to show them the law was supposed to direct them to the doctor. And he's the doctor.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly. I was going to go further.
People cop an attitude, and then hide it and hold it in their heart against somebody. And rather than telling them that, they stew on it. Rather than going to their brother and getting things straightened out, they stew on it. And they become embittered over it. And you know what happens when you give that stuff root?
We give place to the devil.
It gives place to the devil, but it brings disease and corruption into the body. You get sick. How many people are walking around here with arthritis and other afflictions? I had arthritis. I had bad arthritis. And Davey told me I was bitterness. Get rid of that bitterness. Give it up. Give it to the Lord. Let him deal with it. And I did. You know what? The Lord healed that arthritis. Healed it. That's how good he is. As a matter of fact, he healed it as a side effect of another healing that David prayed in my knee, and the knee got healed. And I was so used to hurting and, you know, living the way I lived because I was hurting, that took me a long time to notice, maybe a month to notice the pain had gone. All the inflammation, all that stuff. I had had actually stopped taking the ibuprofen. Just didn't need it. It was just, to me, and I know that's a testimony against me. But it was so neat. It was so good of the Lord. So unexpected. That was not what I asked for. I asked for a knee to get healed. But the truth of the matter was, I gave up the right to be embittered, the need to be embittered about, you know, the unfair treatment people had done to me and all the things that they said or all these other kind of things. I just gave it to the Lord. And in exchange, he healed my infirmity. And he did that, and I didn't even ask him for that. That's the Lord. That's Amen. How good he is. I just... You know, that's the Lord God I want to be revealing to everybody else out there, as how good he is. And you know, Ephesians 3:20, exceedingly abundantly above that which we could ask or think. Good.
Amen.
agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee unto the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence until thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
This is a sense of getting away with, getting over on somebody. They had all kinds of rules in place to allow them to maneuver themselves into being able to get away without doing justly before people. We're going to run the gift shop in the temple, right? The scales weren't right. They were cheating people. And you figure you go to buy something from the temple, you figure that this is the Lord's house, this is the place where you're not going to be defrauded. Wrong. I mean, you might figure it out there in the world. People might, you know, fix the scales on you. And it's just... But you expect that in the temple, the people of the Lord are going to be upright. And they weren't. Rather than owning up to owing somebody something and giving it to them rightly, you wait and you make them sue you to get what's rightly theirs. That sounds like us. Sounds like the way we are today, doesn't it? All right, Lisa says she's having a hard time hearing me, and I don't know. I'm maxed out. Let me see. Let me try this. You sound any better? Testing, testing. I'm probably within 2 inches of the mic, but I have to keep repositioning so I can read.
Paul, you talking about the temple and defrauding the people, you know, it goes right back to the light. You know, they weren't shining the light there. They were, men's deeds are evil and they prefer darkness.
Right. That's right. You have heard it said. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Thanks for that. That's just not what I wanted to hear.
You know, James, I just kind of going back a little bit. I'm sorry, my brain's messed up.
Yeah, we know that.
But Jesus did come in and shine that light in that temple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, he did, Phil.
He'd also, I mean, there's a reason why he called it a den of thieves. I think that's what he said, didn't he? Something something like that. Anyway, that's because they were cheating people. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. If thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. This is hard to receive for people who really justified in themselves. Oh man, it is removing any ability to stand in self-righteousness. If I'm accountable for my thoughts, I'm toast. There's no way. If other people might can be deceived about what's, because they can't see my thought bubble, but I'm toast. If the Lord ever showed anybody my thought bubbles, I'm toast, and they'll know how much toast I'm going to be, and it's going to be ugly. But that's really what we're talking about with committing murder with our thoughts.
And committing adultery with our hearts.
You know, it's heart disease is what it is.
God, it's funny we talk about putting on the mind of Christ, talking about the renewing of our mind.
Absolutely. Might say it's brainwashing.
Need it.
Absolutely right. We have no standing before the Lord. When the law convicts us and condemns us to death. And you have to receive His life and operate in His life and do His works. And let Him do the heart surgery. He can. He wants to. He loves you. He's good. But you have to understand, when Paul talks about the law being a tutor to show us that we need grace, a schoolmaster, a tutor, it's schooling us in that we can't do it. And that's what everybody who's hearing this should get from this, is I can't stand in any of this. I absolutely am guilty of all of it. And, you know, Paul opens up, what does he say? Thanks be to God. Because He can deliver you from the body of this death.
With my mind to serve the law of Christ.
That's right.
But with body, the law of sin. Oh, it's one of those things I remember saying this morning was, Lord, I can't stand in this. Well, I know. But I can. And I have. That's what the Lord's telling me. And if I be in you, you and me,
yeah,
then trust me.
And
been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Gee, this is way tighter than they want to be tied to the law. Before you go sending your wife on her way and declaring by doing so that she's a fornicator, if you know that that's not why you sent her away, you just couldn't stand the anymore, so you sent her packing. And, you know, there was a time when people considered a woman that had been dispatched by her ex-husband was damaged goods. There was something seriously wrong with her. Either she was fornicating or it's just, it's way too much baggage there for her to be acceptable anywhere else. And this is, if she gets remarried, the person she marries is committing adultery. So that's kind of a gift that keeps on giving in a bad way. Again, you've heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Well, you can't really, but it doesn't stop people from trying, right? They have the fake hair color like they have the fake eye color nowadays.
It's interesting. If I go back, I'm always going backwards. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You look like you had something on your mind. You ought to get that thing off your mind.
But I say unto you that whosoever shall put his way... his wife saving, except for the cause of fornication, I should put in there, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry that is divorced committeth adultery. You know, I look at this, and I'm looking at this, and I could be wrong in this, but look at this, it's just not, you can just pass through the wives, like, until you get the one you want. You made a commitment.
That's a shame the way that works, isn't it?
and I could have gone for the first verse, but if you go down where Jesus says, he goes, then why did Moses give the law of divorcement? And he goes, because the hardness of your hearts, he wrote this precept unto you.
That's right. The swearing. He says, in another place, and it may be in the same sermon, but he says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. You're just wrong. And very distracting with those PMs. So that's mean. That's just plain mean. All right. I'm not going to lose track. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Really, really, it is. It's just like I said it was. I swear. somebody's probably lying. But that's the, you know, that's what, as Jesus was doing, only that which the Father gave him to do, and so they spoke only those things the Father gave him to speak. That was, his yea was yea, and his nay was nay. And if we're likewise doing his thing, that's the only way we can meet up to the spiritual necessity that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 requires of us. We can keep that spiritual law. There is hope when we're in him, because he did it first. And it's like, if because he could do it, we can do it as well in him. This is still going to be a corrupt, old, dirty, dying hunk of corruption. But he didn't come to save that. He came to save the souls.
Amen.
And we're about the business. We're going through a long-term detox process, because we were all kinds of toxified with all kinds of corruption and dirt and filth. And the closer we get to him, the cleaner we get. Just by knowing his word and doing what it says and showing other people how good he is. And it doesn't get any better than that. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we came up on this pretty quick. Let your communications be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever more than these is cometh of evil. I could have looked past the verses I was on and seen this, right? You think? I could, if I just not said anything, I probably could have gotten by with just really being on top of things, but I couldn't help myself. I said, well, gee, there it is. Every day is another surprise. Anything whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You don't need to embellish the truth. Just tell the truth. You don't need to say yes when you mean no, and then cop an attitude against somebody. Or say no when you mean yes, and it's just a lie. I mean, it's nothing good comes from that. Nothing. You've heard it. You've heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other also. And if any man, well, that's another one. Let's deal with that one for a moment. People who misread this, are thinking that it's the Christian's duty to be screwed over and lied about, and that Jesus was the first, you know, anti-war pacifist that ever existed, and that there's nothing ever worth fighting for. Then,
there's a lot of things there. I mean, one, you don't see, we see how Jesus operates.
Yeah.
We just talked about the temple. Mm-hmm. And coming in and shining that light. What's going on? I mean, he didn't come just bring... He didn't come, what does it say? He didn't come bring the peace, but a sword.
Yeah, he took the old whip in there, the cat of nine tails, and started clearing the tables off. I'm telling you. He was not a pacifist. He didn't stage a protest outside of the temple. He walked in there, and his yea was yea, and his nay was nay. Yeah. And they understood very clearly when he was done what he said. And they understood what he meant. They understood his actions.
And this friend, I heard this from you. Look, it's one that he went and told the truth. And because he went and told the truth, they sought to kill him. And that was the prophecy. I mean, that was going to come, that we may have life. Still didn't, they didn't have any power over him, because, I mean, when they came to go get him, he said a word, they fell back. He's like, look, you come to take me. You know, he says, you know, they don't take my life, I lay it down.
So what did you do?
I preach at the temple all the time. Ask anybody out here what I said, what I did. Come on, they'll tell you. You know what? Really?
But he's sitting there standing, I'm going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Even if you're going to kill me for it. And you got examples of those who did that. Stephen did that. I mean, they sat there and told the truth. If you're going to kill me for it, then you're going to kill me for it. They didn't resist. They didn't fight for it. They didn't get the army up together and said, well, they're resisting the truth, so we're going to go and pull out our guns and kill them. Remember when Jesus came, the Samaritans wouldn't receive him because they didn't want to say that he wasn't going to stay, or his face was set to go to other towns, and they said, well, he goes, Lord, and shall we send fire from heaven like Elijah? You don't know what manner of spirit you speak of. I did not come to, you know, condemn the world, but to save it. It's like, look, I'm here to tell the truth that people can turn. That was the sword that he was bringing. I'm here telling the truth that people can turn unto me and have life everlasting and peace with God. That's what I came here to do. But if they kill me for it, which they are, I mean, but that was Stephen's approach. Here is the truth. You want to kill me for it?
You've been,
he didn't
quiet,
resist,
James,
you got resist the evil thereof.
Yeah.
He let it come by. That they might have a chance. I mean, ultimately, the reason why Jesus died is that we should have everlasting life with him. You know, Stephen's prayer was, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
That's right.
You know, I hope that turned. You know who was? I mean, Paul the Apostle was consenting unto that death. Yet Paul the Apostle was called unto the Jesus Christ's ministry. And, I mean, this is standing in the truth, even no matter even if they go on to kill you for it.
Absolutely.
That's what he's talking about here.
Yep.
Not the pacifist movement.
The turning the other cheek was an act of resistance. That one wasn't enough. You're just going to have to finish the job here. And that's what was going on here.
Yeah.
I'm not hearing a whole lot of James. What happened to James? Is he still there?
I'm here.
You got anything to say?
Well, you know, when you talked about Stephen and Paul, you know, Stephen, you know, lay this not against, or, you know, at their charge. And I believe that's what he said. You know, Paul was a fruit of that statement.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's the same thing that Jesus said when he's being crucified.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
forgive these people. They have no idea what they're doing.
They know not what they do.
Yep. So my paraphrase.
That's grace.
Absolutely.
And mercy.
Absolutely. But you know, well, I'm not going to get into that. There were some people there who did know what they were doing.
Yeah.
But the Gentiles, the Romans, the soldiers that were doing what they were doing there, they had no idea. And that was Jesus being an intercessor for those who didn't know him yet. That's all that was.
Yep.
It's, and he's good. Let's see. If any man will sue thee at law, take away thy coat and let him have thy cloak also.
You know, I also look another description of that. Maybe I'm carrying this on too long. But in 39, when it's talking about that, you ever have, it's like, where you're giving your kid the correction that they need, and it's, I hate you.
Mm-hmm.
And they hate you for loving them, but you love them anyways. That part of you talking about in the action of, here was the Lord loving them. Mm-hmm. Here was Stephen loving them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just, that's what that, I mean, to me that just, I don't know.
Well, you know, also there. Involved with 39, you know, resist not evil. If you took that one out of context and hung that one around James chapter 4, where it says resist the devil and he will flee, here it says resist not evil. But clearly, it's evil done against you. The devil is evil. But the evil gets done against you all the time. You know, sometimes it's the work of the enemy. Sometimes it's just the way people are. They're evil. So what the testimony of Scripture is. Now, if somebody's evil intended for you, for whatever reason, and they smite you on the cheek, as this thing says, the purpose behind that is to impart not just pain to you, but to impose evil onto you. And you don't flee from that. You stand up and say, listen, it's going to take more than that to get me off of my faith.
Amen.
That's what's going on here.
Reminds me of stand firm in the grace that is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Right. We could probably go on forever on this, but you know, spend some time and go through and see that you have heard this, but I say it's like that. And know that the purpose of this Sermon on the Mount was to show people that the law is spiritual. And it was designed to show you that you need Jesus. And you need him more than you ever thought when you finish reading this. Because you're guilty. Even if you were just like the Pharisees and assumed that you were perfect concerning the law, you're still guilty. And Jesus is the prescription.
Well, he's the one that reconnects us to our spirit again, which we were cut off from.
Absolutely.
So if the law is spiritual, there is no way without him to be connected spiritually again. To be grafted back into the life.
Absolutely. All right, we got a minute or so here. Why don't you got anything else to add, James?
I think it's important for us to remember that we are the light of the world. And, you know, every day when we get up, are we going to be that light or are we going to, you know, put it under a, hide it or put it under a bushel? You know, we need to stay focused first thing and remember what our job is every day.
Amen.
And then, you know, go back to what Phil said in the service, you know, about the seed and the sower. Like, where do we fall? You know, at the end of the day, look and see where, you know, where were we that day? There's four categories there. There's only one that we want to be.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, go back and see where you fall, you know, and go forth the next day.
All righty, that puts, I guess, a wrap on it.
Okay.
This week, and that was a that was interesting.
And you know, we do have his direction and his word. Look through the epistles on how what that means, what that walk of love looks like, conserving him.
Absolutely. All righty, I am Paul Muller. Saying have a great week, and we'll see you next time on the Hour of Truth.